Mark chapter 10, verse number 13. We'll start there. We're going to call this Youth Ministries, Gospel Games, or Biblical Evangelism. Uh-oh. Don't look so shocked. It's not that bad. Now, some of you have been a part of these gospel games. I have. I want to show you a difference here. What is the church's duty? What is the church's duty? And is the youth department, are youth ministries, are they part of the scriptures? Or are they nothing more than gospel games? What are they? What does the Bible say about them? Then we'll look at all the verses that cover being a youth pastor. It's a really deep study. I'll have you memorize all of them today. Before you're done, you'll know every verse in the Bible that covers the youth pastor. You ready? There's not one. Okay? There's not one Bible verse, not one teaching for a youth pastor. Where'd that come from? From somebody's mind. They made it up. Pragmatism made it up. Right? All right. Now, Mark chapter 10, verse number 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them and blessed them. Now, what people have tried to do is take these verses and they've tried to use these verses to say, well, see, this is what validates a youth ministry. No, it doesn't. There's nothing in these verses that it says, suffer the little children to come unto me not and forbid them not. Well, of course you're not to forbid children. We agree wholeheartedly with the scriptures and our Lord Jesus Christ when he tells us to suffer the little children to come unto him and forbid them not. That we all must come in childlike faith to the Lord. I believe that. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that the church is supposed to play gospel games. Nowhere in the Bible does it say the church is supposed to follow the course of this world in their evangelism or in the way the church is ran or the assembly is held. We are to become as little children we're saved. We're to humble ourselves and trust Him by faith and turn to Him alone for salvation. And we sit at His feet and learn from Him. And we'll see that we need Him for forgiveness of sins above all else. He's talking about here the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And we believe that. We agree with that. Yes, children can be saved and children can repent. And they can understand their sinners. And they can believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And their examination should be no more stringent than you or I. Sometimes we put all together more restrictions on children when they're new converts more than we put on ourselves. We're a little bit harder on children in that case. I like one thing that Spurgeon said. He said, then again, if a believing child should act like a child, some of the fathers of the last generation judged that he could not be converted. As if conversion to Christ added 20 years to our age. If it did, I wouldn't be dealing with a bunch of Baptist babies. Of course, the young convert must not play anymore, nor talk in his own childish fashion, or the seniors would be shocked. For it was sort of an understood thing that as soon as ever a child was converted, he was turned into an old man. He said, Spurgeon said, I never could see anything in Scripture to support this theory. He's right. Don't be too hard on kids, amen? I mean, you got to teach them well. You got to bring, but understand they're saved kids. They're saved, but they may be saved, but they're saved kids. They're still kids. It doesn't change the fact they're kids. You still have to guide them. You're still responsible for bringing them up. And that's what the church is responsible. The church's responsibility is to not play gospel games with a youth department, but to preach the scriptures. As if they're not children, but they're full-grown men. But then if we examine full-grown men, we don't see perfection in them either, do we? Have you arrived? Are you that perfect Christian? Jesse Morrell? No, he's like a kid. I'm just sorry, that wasn't very nice. I should have said that. I don't even think he's saved, but anyway. You shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say things like that, Brother Nate. I get in trouble all the time. When people believe heresy, it's a hard time for me. And they preach heresy. It's a hard time for me to believe that they're born again. When they believe that God doesn't know everything. How could any man be saved and think that God doesn't know everything? Like he forgot something. Or he doesn't know what's going to happen. That's foolishness. Anyway, it's the foolishness of men. Great care should be taken with children. And I don't rush to baptize children. I don't do that. I don't rush to, neither would I forbid them if they could explain their faith and belief in Christ and their father. I wouldn't deny them either if they believed it, but I'm careful not to baptize little children. Number one, we don't see any baptized in the scriptures as little children. We don't see a lot of that. We do not. What I've seen today is kids make a profession of faith at 4 years old and they throw them in the baptismal tub or out in the lake and they baptize us. I believe that's dangerous to do that. Not because they're saved by baptism or they're going to go to hell. No, it's because you could confuse that child too. If they don't know clearly that they're born again, why are you? And by the way, they don't even know why they're being baptized. If they're 4 years old, they say, well, I want to. Do they know that baptism? And by the way, that's not explained in churches today either. What's explained is gospel games. Listen, I'll tell you, I've seen these ministries. They lead all these people through, these kids through a prayer. They bust them all in and they baptize them all as little kids. Those little kids don't even want to get baptized, really, half of them. They're scared to death. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have any clue what's going on. They don't want to be a disciple of Christ and follow him. They want a sucker. They want a dum-dum. They want a Twinkie. I know, I've been there. I swallowed the goldfish. Don't wince at me, I did. Like a true soldier of Christ. The sacrifices I made, that's right. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Goldfish and swished it down with a Coca-Cola. Wiggled in my stomach all the way down. I could feel it wiggling. It was like it was saying, what a world, when it was going down. I mean, it was terrible. Some of you will get that, some of you won't, and that's good. All right. Anyway, bad stuff. However, the method of evangelists will make it less likely we have false converts if we preach the gospel correctly. With the right motives, and we leave gospel games out of it. Now, we don't understand the assembly is not for the gospel to be preached. It's for the saints to be edified. But I like what Spurgeon said about this, too. Every sermon, every lesson should be a feeding sermon and a feeding lesson. It is of little use to stand and thump the Bible and call out, believe, 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 when nobody knows what is to be believed. I see no use in fiddles and tambourines. Neither lambs nor sheep can be fed upon brass bands. Sorry, Brother Bicey. There must be doctrine, solid, sound gospel doctrine to constitute real feeding. When you have a joint on the table, I don't know what he means by that, but that means something else back in the 1850s. I hope it did. Okay. It sounded weird. When you have a joint on the table, then ring the dinner bell. I mean, the whole thing just sounds bad. Oh, a joint of a lamb? Like a dog? Oh, thanks, Brother Aaron. Thank you. Thank you. Then ring the dinner bell. But the bell feeds nobody if no provender is served up. Getting children to meet in the morning and in the afternoon is a waste of their steps and yours if you do not set before them soul-saving, soul-sustaining truth. Feed the lambs. You need not pipe to them, nor put garlands around their necks, but do feed them. What's he saying? He's saying you got to give them Bible. You got to feed them the necessary use. Preaching in the assembly ought to be doctrinal, it ought to be practical, it ought to be edifying, it ought to equip people, it ought to equip the family, it ought to equip the home. All right, so number one, Let me say this. The Bible does not say start a youth group to bring children to Christ or to edify the children that are in Christ. There is not one verse in the Bible that states that I as a pastor am responsible for providing or starting a youth group or a junior church to reach children for Christ. That was never God's way, and it doesn't say to do that anywhere. I used to have that mentality that children could only be saved if they had their own church meeting. And if their own group and their own groups, and they must be bunched up together and have some young, energetic or old man, for that matter, stand up and provide a program for them to be entertained and then slip the gospel message. Just slip it in there. Amidst a bunch of empty, vain songs that add Jesus' name in the mix with it to try to sanctify it. I did it. I ran programs. I ran them for years like that. I did that. From Iowa to Minnesota, I did that. Yep. I got, and we're doing this for Jesus, and we thought we were, and we were in heart. Still doesn't make it right. Still can't find one verse in there where the Apostle Paul did that. In fact, we're going to see what the Apostle Paul told young Titus to do in the church. Young Titus it is, and what his duty was. But I ran youth departments. I had youth activities. I ran junior churches and all sorts of things. And I found out after careful examination of these things that they really profit next to nothing. Because I saw hundreds of kids, hundreds, make empty professions of faith, still gangbanging, still talking trash, still living for the world, still hating God's word, really. But they got some food and they got some games and they got some gadgets and somebody played gospel games with them, so they kept coming back to church. But most of those are nothing more than pragmatic solutions to a problem they were trying to fix. The problem started out with busting and attracting in the lost to the assembly. That was where the problem started. In their zeal to reach the lost and teach the kids to read and write, which is where the Sunday school movement actually started. It was churches had took the responsibility. Well, they wanted to teach kids to read and write. Noble effort. No problem with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In fact, if you wanted to do that on a Saturday, if you want to do that, and we don't have the same problems as we did before, and you wanted to go out to them and teach them that, that would be fine. There's nothing wrong. There's no sin in that. By the way, there's no sin in good works. There's no sin in doing things. And then he would teach and preach to them the gospel while they did it. While they taught the poor kids that couldn't feed them, didn't have any food, they couldn't read, they couldn't write, they taught them. Is there any sin in that? Absolutely not. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. No. That's outreach. It's important. And they preached the gospel, and they just didn't teach them to read and write. They taught them to read and write what? The Bible. Amen. That's the power of God and salvation. Amen. So I don't have any problem with that. In their zeal to reach the lost and teach them, that's exactly what they did. But what happened was, over time, the church kids were incorporated in the same system. Then it became an issue of all the kids being together and teaching and preaching on a level that they could understand. So they said, well, kids can't understand the gospel. They can't understand biblical preaching. Yes, they can. No, they really can. But see, they had to try to corral a bunch of bus kids and a bunch of kids that weren't trained like your families are trained. They didn't have discipline. They weren't getting discipline at home. They weren't getting instruction at home. So they had to bring them in. And they just say, well, we got to figure out what to do with this. But what was it, the height of human reasoning? So the first thing, what happened? Why did this happen? Because they lost their sight of what the church was for. In their zeal for evangelism, they lost the sight of what the church is for. And let me tell you something. If you get it backwards, listen, if we ever stop doing what we're doing here, of the preaching of God's word being the main thing, and coming together to assemble, to edify one another, and then go out and battle out there, if we ever reverse those things and change those wrong, I promise you, according to Scripture, we will lose the power of God. We will lose anything that He is doing with us. If we lose sight of that, we change the way we're doing things in order to make it, well, we got to bring people, we got to love people. Yeah, you love them out there, and when they get saved, they'll come in here. Amen. But the church is separate, called out assembly. The purpose is to edify you. I had somebody say this to me, what are you going to do, preacher? You preach a lot of hard stuff. Really? What? What if new converts come along? What if they just leave because they can't handle it?
Well, here's what you have to understand. The church is complete and whole the way it is. Because that's how God makes it. What I mean by that is, I'm to edify the saints and preach the word of God to who's here, not who might come here. Do you get that? I'm not concerned with who might come here. Because let me tell you something. In 7 years' time, I've had a lot of people tell me they might come here. I mean, I've had a lot of people tell me they might come here. Man, they told me the grandest stories in the world. They made me think they were going to be the best. I'm telling you, when we first started, we had people tell us, hey, we're going to be there for you, brother! We're going to be there for you! Man, they were out the door before the first day we started. I had people like, you know, we had to postpone it a year and just continue the Bible study. Man, I had that Bible study. These families are supposed to be dedicated. They're going to be here. This one family in particular, they came the first Bible study. Man, never seen them again. Never seen them again. So you forgive me if I don't worry about what might be and what might be, and I deal with what is. Amen. Now, believe me, it took me a while to come to that conclusion. I didn't come to that overnight. God had to deal with me and humble me. And I told you a story about me and Brother Lee and how we used to be like, man, anybody going to show up? Lee'd come in. Where's everybody at? Shut up, Lee. You are everybody. Just sit down and be quiet. You are everybody, okay? Quit asking me that question. And we had this big dinner I told you about. We had all this chicken and all this other stuff. And, man, we had a lot of chicken left over, brother. Whew. Man, we were big planners. Man, we thought we was going to have like 500 people here. They're all going to come. Free chicken. They'll come. And nobody came. It's like his mom came and my mom. And I was like, yes. Nobody else came. The liars. They're all liars. They didn't show up at all. So I don't worry about who might come. What if they come and get offended? What if they do? So what? If it's truth, it's truth. Well, they won't grow. Really? Is that how much you trust the Spirit of God? That I'm supposed to quench the Spirit, hold back the hard preaching, and preach something different and soft and smooth, and prophesy smooth things for somebody that might come? Boy, that is a backwards look at how the power of God works and how the assembly is supposed to be. You think we're going to build saints of God here by doing that? Ridiculous. I'd rather build up three people that are coming faithful every week than soft serve some people that may never come. That might chase them out good. It might. It's supposed to. Don't you get it? If you follow the Bible, the people that are supposed to be here will be here. The people that are not, they ain't saying. They'll leave. That's how it works. And we thank God for it. That's how it's supposed to be. Backwards thinking for today, though, isn't it? Okay, he says here in Ephesians chapter 4, I just want to remind you here, verse number 12, or verse number 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. You want to know why people are tossed to and fro and they got no power today? Because they don't know doctrine. And it's not, and the pastors are too busy chasing around wolves and goats instead of feeding sheep. And you waste your ministry chasing around wolves and goats and not feeding sheep. You'll have a bunch of incomplete people that are running around. They're malnourished Christians and they got no power of God. Why? Because you ain't feeding them anything. That's my job. You want to see youth raised for Christ? Then God has called me to preach the word to you. That's the reason we assemble, to be edified, to glorify our head, which is Christ, for the glory of God. For what? For the work of the ministry. Like you've seen yesterday. How many men? How many men we have out there? Six, seven, eight, whatever, eight men out there? We all went out there. What were we doing? We are doing the work of the ministry. And guess what? Our wives were home doing the work of the ministry too. You understand that? You understand that? They were home doing the work of the ministry. You better understand that. There ain't no man here that could go out there and do that without his wife doing what she does. You get that? You better get it. You better understand it and get it in your head. That's the glorified position. And guess what? That God made her to do, and you can't do it. And without my wife, I could not do that ministry. I could not go out there and do what the Lord has called me to do. And neither could you. And you better respect that and understand that and be appreciative and thank God for that. Because without those wives, you wouldn't be going out doing that. See, that's how the body works. But you wouldn't know that unless pastor stood up and took the word of God and preached that to you and directed you and said, this is the order that it's supposed to be in. See, that's how it works. That's why it works. Because it's God's order. We're commanded to go to the lost and preach the gospel. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Matthew 28, verse 8, to every creature. Go ye into all the world. Wait. Bring all the world into the church. No, the church is supposed to be separate from the world, so I'm not supposed to bring all the world into the church. What happened? Gospel games. That's what happened. I'm telling you, in zeal to reach the youth, we changed the church into gospel games. That's what it is today in most churches. It is gospel games. It is all centered around busting in people and attracting them and trying to entertain goats and wolves. Not going out and preaching to the sheep and bringing sheep in from the fields of sin. Amen? But it's about bringing them in and entertaining them here, and nobody gets edified. Man, most of these churches today, I'm telling you, they don't know doctrine at all. These people could not share any doctrine with you. But when proper evangelism is accomplished, we don't have the issue attempting to entertain a bunch of children without their parents. Because that's what happens. We bring in a bunch of kids that aren't around their parents and we're trying to tell them what to do and they don't care. Man, I'm telling you what, I've had those kids say the most awful things in the world to me. I've had them do the most awful things. Why? Because they're more wicked than my kids? No, because their mom and dad ain't there to correct them. That's why. And I'm not here to babysit and entertain your kids. That's not what God's called me to do, and that's not what the church is to do. Bring in a bunch of unfortunate children, bring them into the church to try to entertain them? Nowhere. No, that's gospel games. That has nothing to do with the Bible. That has nothing to do with the church. Oh, that's mean. You just don't care. No, that's why we go out. We care and we go. But we don't change out of some emotional desire to reach somebody. We don't change the order of the assembly. We're not allowed to change what God said to do and change it into gospel games in a zeal to reach people. We're not allowed to do that. Nowhere in Scripture. But listen to me, this hasn't been done biblically for most churches, so we have youth departments and youth groups and youth activities and youth pastors. None of which you can find in the Scriptures at all. You want to know why there are no instructions for a youth pastor in the Scripture? Because there's no such thing as a youth pastor. Think about that, a youth pastor. It doesn't even make sense, does it? That there would be some pastor over your children. No. There are pastors that God has called to the assembly, and He has placed them there with authority to do the work that He has called them to do, but it's over. He oversees the entire assembly. And most directly, the fathers. I don't run around and tell people's wives what to do here. I don't do that. I don't want to do that. Women can be mean. I'm just saying. Smile. It's okay. Don't get mad, Louise. It was funny. Okay, there you go. Now you're laughing. Allie's laughing now. It's okay. I'll make it through lunch now. I don't know. I was looking there. I might be in trouble. I'm just kidding. But I hope. We'll see. But I don't run around telling people's wives what to do. Why? Because it's not my duty. It's not what God's called me to do. I'm to be an encourager to the husband. I'm to help be an encouragement to the assembly and edify the saints. And believe me, if I had a problem with you, you'd never know it. I'd come to your husband and talk to him. You wouldn't know it from me. I wouldn't say a word to you. Not a word. Why? Because it's disrespectful, that's why. Amen. Well, you're the pastor, though. That don't make no difference. God didn't give me authority over you. I mean, as a whole, as an assembly to deal with things, absolutely. But not individually to go up and do that? No, I'd talk to your husband about it. And I'd be very careful when I did that, too. Because I don't like doing that either. Amen. By the way, that youth pastor position, it was completely made up. There's no such thing in the Bible. There's no such thing in the Bible as an entertainer of the youth unless you consider a court jester part of a position. Because that's what most youth pastors are. It says nowhere in the scripture this is the design of God to have a youth group, a youth pastor that can take my children and do activities with them and spend time with them. By the way, it's to me it seems weird. Like, for me just to go, oh, hey, I'll take all the kids with my wife and take a bunch of youth and teenagers. Let's gather them all together and throw them on a bus. Yeah, that don't seem like a good idea to me. Okay, I remember me being a teenager, Brother Paul, and that don't seem like a good idea to me at all. I mean, I'm okay if the fathers and the families want to come together. We do things together because that's what we do. Hey, we go out and shoot guns together. We go out and do a lot of things fun together. Amen. We do it as a family together. And the men, they lead. And the wives, they take care of their children together. We do it together as families. Why? Because we're not, the church is not meant to split you apart into different positions, but to strengthen you as a family. That's why there's so many gospel games today. Because they've lost sight of what's important. They've not followed the scriptures. Yeah, it does provide a job for the pastor's son-in-law. Man, are you kidding me? My kid was like, man, I heard some of these pastors, they ordained their sons at like 19 years old, and they were youth pastors. You know where those pastors end up? Fornicating with those kids! That's where they end up. You think I'd put my son in a position like that at like 19 years old? Man, I'm still thumping him in the head at 19. Here, kid. Or even 25 years old. Hey, let me put you around a bunch of 18-year-old girls. Yeah, that's smart. That's real smart. I don't know. Is this too practical? Is it too practical? No, it's just a bunch of gospel games that have been played of foolishness and nonsense based off nothing in the scriptures at all. It's been completely made up. The fact that I even have to preach this, to lay down this, but you know what? It kind of goes under our Why I Preach Against series. Why I Preach Against youth departments and youth programs. That's where you can put that under. Because it's really what it is. So people understand. What's that do? Well, when they look at our website and they find out that I'm not going to entertain their children, unless they get entertained by watching their children squirm under preaching, then they might be entertained. It says nowhere in the scripture that's God's design, though. To have a youth group, have a youth pastor that can take my children and do all this fun stuff with them. Where I gather them together with a bunch of other kids their own age and let them play games and talk and have fun. You know what happens when you do that? Girlfriends and boyfriends. Man, I see it in the Christian school, too. I watch them do the same exact things that the lost kids do in the world. I mean, the same exact things. Watch them do it. Same things. Why? Gospel games. You get out of God's order and you say, you think you're going to fix it? You think you got to... See, what is this evolution of all this? It's evolution is what it is. It's evolutionary thought. We've evolved and we said, no, God's pattern is this for the assembly. But you know what? God just doesn't understand the practicality of the times here. See, we got to adjust with the times. And people just, you know, kids just can't listen to hour and a half preaching. Well, these guys do. Yeah, they squirm around, but so do you. Right, Brother Nate? Some of you squirm a little bit more depending on what's preached. Sometimes I watch you squirm more than the kids do. But I won't tell you, but sometimes I'd like to just put a mirror up here so you could look at yourself while I'm preaching. So you can just look at your facial expressions. Well, what? You guys would be like, Pastor, please put the mirror away. We don't want to look at what we're looking like. I want you to see how bad you look at me sometimes. How mad you are at me. And I'll put the verse on there. You were rebellious since the day I knew you. Right on the top of that, on the top of that mirror. All the way across. It'll be on there. And just put that picture up there. Be hanging your head. Nobody be lifting their head up. I'm just kidding. Anyway. You as parents have the responsibility to make fun with your children, to have fun with them, to take them on vacation or take a day off and spend time with them. It's not the pastor or the church's duty to play gospel games with them. The church is not a replacement for a father or mother's role in the child's life. How many times have we seen this where they try to replace the father and the mother? They try, well, what do you mean, pastor? I don't think they do that. Really? You drop your kids off to some youth activity, they get them all, bust them all in, and some youth pastor comes in and he has fun with them, and that's what he does. Wait a minute. I thought you were supposed to do that. I thought you were supposed to take them fishing, and you were supposed to take them to have fun, and you were supposed to take them shooting, and you were supposed to do those things. Isn't that the same thing? Why are they doing it? Aren't you supposed to do it? Well, I got to work. Buddy, you better fix your schedule then. Something's wrong with you. Because if you're too busy to parent your kids and you want to pay some youth pastor to do it, I think you got a bigger problem than what you think. Well, they're busy nowadays. Life is busy. No, the pastor just wants the tithe to keep coming in, the offerings to keep coming in, so he can fund the programs and keep the building rolling and keep the machine rolling. So he has all these gospel games in place to entertain all these people. Man, you ever seen most churches, their activities that they have for the week? Look at their bulletins sometime. It's insane. There's more stuff going on. It's like, well, when are these people ever home? When are they ever eating dinner at home? When are they ever spending time with their children? When are they ever doing anything with them? They're always there doing something else, keeping them busy. It's ridiculous. It's nothing more than gospel games. That's what it is. Do you know that nearly all the instruction for children, they're given to the parents in the Bible? Well, where's the instruction of how the church is to teach and preach to children in the Bible? Here's a clue for you. It's the same instruction I've been given to preach to you. It's no different. Because God never meant his body to be divided up when they assemble together and to split them off into all these different groups and to teach them differently and have a curriculum for this and a curriculum for that and a curriculum for that. No, God never meant it to be that way. I think it's amazing that we try to say we're for the family and everything else, most churches. And then the minute you go to the church house on Sunday, what do they do? Pew! Everybody splits. Everybody's in their own little sections. And when you have that weird oddball family that says, well, I want to keep my family together. What's the matter with you, brother? Don't you want to support the work of God? Why do you hate God so much, huh? Why do you hate God's body? Why don't you support, why do you hate youth pastors? Probably hate ice cream too, don't you? Scumbucket. And they preach them out of the church and they leave. Don't believe me? Ask Brother Russ. He went to churches. He was the oddball. Well, I want to keep my family together. What's the matter with you? I don't know. I love my family. I mean, that's it. It's just, I mean, I love them. You know, I have to have your permission. And the pastor said, well, you have to, you know, you can't do that. You have to support the ministry. I am supporting the ministry. I'm here. But you have to send them off to their class. You're making everybody look bad because you have your kids together and, you know, like they're wrong because you have your family together and they don't. It's because they are wrong. It's because it is wrong. It's the wrong design. So the pastor said, well, that's going to cause dissension. And then more people say, well, why do you do that? Why do you keep it? Because we don't believe in gospel games. You have to teach them on their level. Where does it say that anywhere in the Bible that you're supposed to change the assembly for that purpose? It doesn't. But you know what? When you try to make it up, you look really foolish. I know pastors that tried to make that up. They tried to tell their men that knew the Bible and studied it that, no, Sunday school is biblical. It's in the Bible. And here it is. And these men, they looked at it and they were like, you know, you preach all this stuff about the nature of the assembly being right. You preach all these things about the proper order and everything, or, you know, the proper about going out and not the assembly's not for wolves and everything else. But then you split everybody up and you do this. And where is that anywhere in the Bible? Well, it's not anywhere in the Bible, but he tells them that it was in the Bible. And he tried to teach them in a lame way that it was in the Bible and it didn't work because they were like, well, that's not true. That's not even in there. That's a foolish argument. That doesn't nowhere does it say and give that instruction. What happened? Phew, that's what happened. That's the reason it happened, too. One of the reasons, anyway. There's no division in the local church when it comes to that. We are to be like-minded, have the mind of Christ, and all speak the same thing. Do you see any instructions from the Apostle Paul stating what is the acceptable youth activity of the youth pastor and the youth department to partake in? No. Were there any guidelines in there for that? No. Why? Because it's not there. Because God never meant it to be that way. man has taken that idea and ran with it. There's not to be a youth department where you separate you from your children and I bring a bunch of teenagers together. You're commanded to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You are. Did the Apostle Paul set up a program in Ephesus or any other church he planted to have junior church to reach the lost? Okay, Timothy, I want you to dress up like a clown or get a ventriloquist dummy or sock puppets. Sock puppets. And play games. Get a dunk tank and play dunk the Apostle Paul. Okay, if you bring enough visitors, Timothy, we're going to dunk the Apostle Paul. No, let me show you what he thought about that, what he was up to. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to show you what the Apostle Paul was up to. Speaking of dunking in water and all this, I want to show you something. I want you to understand the soberness of the Apostle Paul when he taught the guidelines of the church and he taught the necessary order of the church. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep. Let me ask you a question. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You'll have to forgive the Apostle Paul as he was being beaten for the faith if he didn't have time for gospel games, nickels and noses. Do you understand this? Look, I want you to think about this for a minute. Here's a man that was set up, that God had said, write all these things. This is going to be the order of the church. This is how they're supposed to conduct themselves. This is how they're doing. Could you imagine the Apostle Paul looking up there and saying, okay, Timothy, it's time to play games with all the kids in the assembly? Where they come together. Some people say, well, you know, I mean, my kids, they really want a youth department. They're not used to preaching like that. They're not used to that. Well, are you raising them for Jesus Christ or are you raising them to be entertained? Which is it? If it's for them to be entertained, then go to one of those perverted Mark Driscoll type churches and they'll entertain them there. They'll entertain them right into hell. They'll sing a song and dance and skate them straight to hell. Come on. You'll have to forgive the Apostle Paul because he didn't see it that way. I want your children to see sober, serious preaching and teaching and holy living and fighting the good fight of faith and laying hold on eternal life. Listen, this is not a gospel game. This is for real. Your soul is for keeps. You can't have that. They can't think Sunday is about clowns and balls and buckets and games and prizes and goldfish and all kinds of other. Well, everybody that comes is going to get this prize and everybody and all these things. And then all these kids are working towards all these prizes and they're doing all these other. What does that have to do with? Do you really think the Apostle Paul would have done such things? Do you really think our example for what we're supposed to be? In the scriptures that was about. Do you ever see Jesus playing gospel games with people? He said, suffer the little children to come unto me not. He didn't say turn the assembly into a big game. Have fun with them. Make sure they have fun. Above all things, my children, have fun with them. I don't want them to think the gospel is some game that we play on Sunday. So it has to be at their level. No, you're trying to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You preach the word. That's what you do. And the Holy Ghost will drive home to them and help them understand it. What was Paul's counsel to young Timothy and Titus? What was his counsel to them? And he said, they were young men. What did he constantly tell these young men to do? Well, not what youth pastors do. Think about it. These were young men in the ministry that were ordained. Do you realize the Apostle Paul and the Presbytery, that church, those men, they ordained him. They laid hands on these men and ordained them for the gospel ministry. Did he say, well, listen, we got to get relative, Timothy. I mean, we got to You know, we got to have some fun with these guys, Titus. No, what did he say over and over again? Be sober. Be sober. Now, do you get the message of most youth pastors and youth departments and youth ministries? Do you get the message of being sober? Have you ever seen a sober youth department? Why do they hire the guy to do it? Because he can entertain them and he can have fun and he can make games and he can entertain them. And he's a clown for them to entertain them. What am I, a clown to you? Yeah, that's exactly what he is. Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. But speak thou the things, this is what he's saying to Titus. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. You mean not gospel games? That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity, in patience. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Well, why? Because church is about teaching, that's why. The assembly of the saints is about teaching. What you receive, that you give. Do you understand that? So if you receive all these gospel games, then you're going to give all those games. And that's what the assembly is going to be about having fun. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Wait a minute. You mean you don't have to have a big ladies movement, a big ladies meeting and all that kind of stuff to teach? And no, it's supposed to be done in the assembly, I mean, as far as this way, but it's also supposed to be done, you know, by the older ladies by example and also helping. Oh, well, somebody told me, well, see, you got to have a class for that. No, you don't. They weren't talking about classes here. They were talking about teach them this so they can teach others the same thing. That's one lady calls up and says, well, how do you handle this? Because how do you handle this with your child or how do you do this? And they talk back and forth and they ask questions about different things. It's another thing, homeschool ladies, you need to be doing with each other is you should be talking to one another and encouraging one another and trying and praying for each other and trying to encourage them and maybe even, you know, maybe the ladies and the kids can come together too sometime, you know, a couple times a month or once a month or something, come together and they could all, you know, get together, play and talk, and the ladies can exchange ideas and things like that, and things that have worked for them. Because some of these younger ladies, they need help. So, I mean, they need help and guidance, and some of you that have been homeschooling for a while, you could be a blessing and help them as well. And maybe the younger lady will have some idea for you too that'll help you. But you need to come together. That's what the body is for. You're here to help one another. You don't have to have a class to do that. It's part of your life. It's you living it out every day. Be a blessing to one another. The kids can come together. And then, you know, because these kids are so unsociable, they can learn to be sociable. My unsociable homeschooled kid, my son, I can't shut him up out there. I get him out there, and I can't. I mean, he's bolder than us, Nate. He's walking down singing hymns. Walking down the street yesterday, and he's singing hymns walking down the road. I mean, loud. He's singing. I'm like, hey, it made me and Nate sing. We just started singing because we were like, we got to sing because, I mean, man. Yeah, it is. And he's singing, walking down the street, singing. You know, that unsociableness, though. He got that from his father. That unsociable. Not the singing. He sings way better. Way better. He'll be the song leader someday. And thank God I'll never have to do it, Lord willing. I pray about that. That's why God's going to raise up a song leader for me too, and my son too. Brother Andrew will be able to work with him. Brother Andrew, you'll be able to work with him. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's right. We work together. Amen. That's what the body's for. But it says here, you teach the younger one to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise. Wait a minute. Somebody didn't give the youth department this memo. It says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Oh, you mean not gospel games? No. Children have no problem playing without you encouraging it. You do understand that, right? That's why the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction driveth it far from him. Why? Because they have no problem acting the fool. You have no problem acting like a fool. I have no problem acting like a fool. I have to govern myself and be sober, just like you do. And you're to teach young men who have no discretion, you're teaching discretion to, you're to teach them to be sober-minded. You're to teach them discretion and wisdom. So what is Timothy, what was he supposed to exhort the young men to do in the assembly? To be sober-minded. Or Titus, excuse me. To be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Amen? God has called me to help you be a better father and mother, not to replace you as mom and dad. Not to have youth groups and gospel games. I don't believe in the gospel games. I don't believe they were ever in the mind of the Apostle Paul, ever. It shows the real depravity and decadence of the age that we live in, real idolatrous times. Because the church has turned into bread and circuses too. I mean, look at, go past some of these. The height of the assembly is all the rock bands and all the drummers and all the concerts. I mean, they're just like the worldly concerts, only they're a little lamer. If you're really going to do it, then do it, okay? If you're going to be an apostate, then just do it. Do it full apostate, right? Don't just act fake and act like you're going to sprinkle a little Jesus into your wickedness. Might as well do it right if you're going to do it. I don't believe gospel games were ever in the mind of them. It shows that real depravity. That is that's what we have. That's the same thing. It's funny, I read some sermons from the 1850s. And they were preached to children in the congregation. And honestly, they were so meaty, the average church would be extremely challenged by them. His name was Richard Newton, a preacher named Richard Newton. Sermons to children. He was called the Prince of Preachers to Children or whatever, just because of the way he preached. I mean, it was just, and I read some of his sermons, I was like, man, in fact, I preached some of it to you guys. Long time ago. It was to Lee, but Lee's grown up now, so. But back then, I preached those to Lee. I'm glad he's not here today, I can say that stuff. He ain't going to listen to it for another month probably anyway, so. He'll be like, no, he's listening live, I think, where he's at right now. Yeah, Lee! For you, buddy. Teach you to miss out on Sunday. That's the way it should be, though. There is nowhere in the Bible that we are to change the message. Look at what Jesus was preaching on when those children came to him. I want you to notice this. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Verse number 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. I mean, the children were all there, and they heard Jesus preaching and talking about these things. What happened? They said, oh, we want to bring the children to Jesus. That's great. But was he changing a message? No, he just got done ripping the Pharisees on Mark chapter 10 all the way through, if you read it. He's just ripping on them hard. He's nailing them, right? And then he goes into this, and then the little children are like, hey, I want to go talk to Jesus. Oh, you mean they weren't scared of him because he was saying all this stuff? Like people on the street, you're scaring my children. How come those sodomites don't scare your children? All them spooky movies you watch and all the demons that you allow in your home and all that other, that and all that don't scare. And the music that they listen to. And the videos that they watch. I like how people do that. They have their kids like, come on, kids. Don't talk to those people. They're bad people. It's weird, isn't it? Yeah, on the way to the haunted house, right? Right. It doesn't appear to be a watered-down gospel game to me, does it? I see no instructions in the Scriptures for changing that method to children. I see nothing in the Bible that states we're to provide an atmosphere of fun like that. Nothing at all. But most youth ministries are gospel games. By the way, since when is it the design of the assembly to get out as quick as you can, not to distract you from your leisurely Sunday with a little Christ-honoring preaching? We see that today, don't we? Pastors are really, they really talk about how they're going to get you out early. They're going to get you out on time. I do it because I laugh at you because I'm not going to do it. So I make fun of it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, it'll be a short one. And everybody's like, you've been saying that for like 5 years now and I ain't had a short one yet. They got to get home and watch football. We'll get you home in time to watch football. There's seriously a pastor right now that told me he would never change from a nightly service to an afternoon service. You know what his reason was? Football. Because he likes to watch football. But you can see there's no power in his church, though. And in his life, personally. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. It was never the design of the church to make things fun or make them attractive. Not at all. But you know what this has produced? These gospel games? Listen to this. A LifeWay, I gotta hurry up. Man, I can't believe it's this late. A LifeWay Christian Resource Survey from 2007 indicated that 70% of 18 to 22 year olds stop attending church for at least once a year. For one year. Surveys by the Barna Group repeatedly have shown that a majority of 20-year-olds leave church often never to return. Some of them leave and go to other seeker-friendly churches. Why? Well, because you entertain them with gospel games, but they said, man, they play the real games over at Driscoll's church. Man, they got a brewery in there. They got a rock band in there. They got rappers in there. Cross-dressers. Those are probably in there too. But they got everything in there. Man, they put a bed on stage. And the husband and the wife come in and preach with a bed on stage and talk about things that ought not be talked about in the assembly of the saints. Yeah. But you know where the youth are going? Perry Noble. Come on! Where are the youth going of fundamentalist churches today? You want to know where they're going? Perry Noble. Mark Driscoll. Emergent church, seeker-friendly churches. Why? Because don't you ever forget it. The fundamentalist movement birthed the emergent church movement. It is the grandchildren of the fundamentalist movement. Because they stopped following this and played gospel games. So anytime some fundamentalist tries to tell you and point their finger at the emergent church, you just make sure they understand your gospel games led to that emergent church movement. They are the sons of the emergent, or of the fundamentalists. And I can prove it to you. Phil Kidd's son. Phil Kidd, the chief entertainer of them all down south. Everybody loves Phil Kidd because he gets up and screams and hollers and plays and tells all these fantastic stories of things that have happened to him in the ministry and all these spooky things. You know what? His son is a pastor of an emergent church called Thrive. Is that what it's called? Thrive or something? I can't remember the name of it. Thrive or something like that. Phil Kidd. I mean, he is in every fundamental Baptist pulpit in the South and up here in the North. He's in these churches. Keith Gomez and other guys like that have him out there. He's in part of all their camp meetings and all their other things. I mean, he's a big name preacher. Guess who else he preaches for? His emergent church son, Paul Kidd. Yeah. Preaches for his emergent church son, Paul Kidd. Why? Well, because Paul just said, hey, you know how my dad played games? What was that was it Rehoboam said about his father? The youth told him to say? He said, you tell him that it'll be like a pinky to my thick loins or whatever of the person. What's that? Yeah, my father's yoke. What my father did to yoke will be like a pinky compared to my thick loin. What I'm going to do to you, what I'm going to put you under. Same thing. He doubled down on the gospel games. That's all the emergent church movement is. It's a doubling down. That's all that it is. They started it. Fundamentalists started it. Those kids said, hey, if you can play games, why can't we? We just take your games farther, that's all. Don't get mad that we have more success at it. We're just better than you at it. That's not very popular. That won't get me on a circuit of preachers to go preaching at all these big meetings. I won't be invited to the Sword of the Lord. or revival fires, or the camp meetings down south. I won't get to do cartwheels. I won't get to run the aisles, throw jackets at people. They won't scream my name. They won't clap for me when I walk in. They'll boo me. Throw stones at me. No, they won't sing that either to me. Shut up, Nate. I don't need to get in trouble. I've been in enough trouble today, all right? But they go to seek the seeker-friendly church because you taught them when they were children that they come to church to play games and have fun and win prizes and they're to be entertained. That's why they're gone. They go for the real stuff. Man, those they say, hey, you fundies can't entertain like rapping Greg Locke or kick old ladies in the face for the anointing like Todd Bentley. Or sing Purple Haze with Rick Warren. Or get on stage with Lecrae and have a heyday in hell. You don't do any of that stuff. So we're going to go where they really entertain us. Or we're going to just skip church altogether and be done with it. Most were never converted in the first place. Lost, hellbound sinners that played bubble gum, swallowed a goldfish, put a pie in the face of a preacher, gospel games at church. We were never called to play those games. But they played them. And look what it's amounted to. Look at the fruit of the movement. If you can't see it, you don't want to see it. You're blind. You don't want to see it. I've seen it by the thousands, the hundreds. I see these kids on Facebook. They listen to the same music as the world. They follow the same thing as the world. They do the same thing as the world. They talk about the same movies. They do the same thing. Why? Because they're of the world. That's why. And all they came to church for was gospel games and having fun. And man, you know what? The church kids like hanging out with the bus kids. You know why? Because the bus kids, I mean, they show them all the wicked stuff and they're enticed by that wickedness. They look at that like, wow. Why? Because no preacher got up and blew the cover off that wickedness and told them what it really was and showed them how demonic and wicked it was. That's why we just blow the cover right off of it. So there's no mystique to you. You know where that's going to end up? Hell. That's where it ends up. So what is the church's responsibility? And then we're done here. The church has a responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God. That's the church's responsibility. For I have not, Acts chapter 20, verse number 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. What's the pastor's duty? To play gospel games? No. To feed the flock of God. To feed them. I'm commanded to feed the flock of God. I'm exhorted, like young Titus was, to preach the order of God. Preach Ephesians chapter 5 to the husbands to love their wives. Preach to the wives to submit to their own husbands. Preach to the children to obey their parents and to honor them. I'm to preach to servants or employees to be good workers and have good character and be the best employee they could be. Like the Bible said, he said, servants, obey your masters. What's he talking about? Slaves? No, he's talking about you working for somebody. That you're a good worker. That you have good character. That you're the best worker at that place that you work at. That you show the best character. Why? Because that screams Christ more than anything you say. What you do screams more. Amen. I'm to preach to fathers to love their children, not to provoke them, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does that nurture mean? That which promotes growth, education, instruction. Oh, fathers, mothers, you've got to instruct them. And more things than just put your clothes away and do this and do that. Bible instruction. You should know that Bible so well, mother, that you have a Bible verse for every rule and everything you have instructed them to do. Why do they need to pick up their room? Why do they need to clean this? Why do they need to do that? Why do they need to do this? So you have good character, son. Why can't I say this? Or why do they need to not say this? Because, son, you don't have that conversation in front of certain people. You don't have that. It's not right to talk like that in front of people. It's not right. Why? You're teaching them discretion. No, young lady, you sit like this. This is proper. This is honoring to the Lord. This is why you do this. You don't wear this type of clothing. You don't dress this way. You don't stand this way. Young lady, you don't have this conversation among others around you that are men. You keep that conversation to your mother and to others like that. You don't confide in this. You don't do this. Why? Because I'm teaching them. Pastor teach them? No. You teach them. I'll teach you. You teach them. They'll hear it here. It'll be backed up here. It'll come forth here. You go home and you instruct them. It says in the nurture and admonition. What does that mean? Counseling against a fault. Instruction and duties, caution, direction. In church discipline, public or private, reproof to reclaim an offender, a step preliminary to excommunication. Now, that's not concerning a family. You're not going to excommunicate your kid. They might want to be sometimes. But I'm to preach that the women are to be keepers at home and love their children, love their husbands, so the word of God be not blasphemed. I'm to preach holy, righteous living for the Lord Jesus Christ, that God is holy and is angry with the wicked every day. I'm to exhort fathers and mothers that they obey the Bible and raise their children, and to preach milk and meat to the fathers and the mothers that they can go home and teach their sons and their daughters the gospel order and life they are to live. There is no direct ministry the church is to provide for the youth. Full of gospel games. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not? Absolutely. Change the order of the assembly and the duty of the church? No way. I'm to preach to men to go out and preach the gospel and take your sons and daughters when appropriate and live for Christ 7 days a week in your home. Don't be a phony. By the way, you want to know a duty I have to your children as well as you? We as a body are to discipline the unruly. You want to know why church discipline is important? You know how many kids I've heard told me stories? Well, there's a whole website, and there are a bunch of mockers and scoffers, but it's called Stuff Fundies Like. And it's an awful, wicked site, and they hate God, and they use it. They use what the evil that man has done, that fundamentalists have done, many of them have done, and they pervert it to some degree, and they make it worse, some things worse, but they got enough ammo, because the fundamentalist movement gave them enough ammo to do that. But you know what they talk about? How all these people that, I mean, they never got disciplined, nobody ever, they would come in and fornicate and do different things and have all this stuff going on in the body. Pastors would be perverts and youth pastors would be perverts and nobody did anything about it. They knew some guy, what's that? Covered it up. They covered up the sins and everything and the body covered it up and nobody was accountable to anything and nobody was disciplined for it. So what happens? Those kids grow up and think, that church isn't real. The scriptures aren't real. They don't really believe this stuff. This is what they do. No, what do? It's my solemn duty that when something like that happens, that we do have church discipline. That we do deal with the unruly. We do mark the heretic. You see that? We do call the sinner to repentance. And we do remove from the assembly those that will not submit and obey good gospel order. Why? Because what happens when you do that? Great fear will come upon all of them. Great fear. They'll see the power of God and they'll know it's real and not think it's gospel games. Youth are trained to be men and ladies that honor the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is not to do anything else but encourage them to contend for the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Gird up your loins. Be men. You see, we edify the church, empower the father and mother, and teach them their duty, and preach the whole counsel of God, and there is no need for the modern day movement. Now, if people want to play gospel games and think the church is there to entertain their children, they'll leave. And I say a hearty amen when they do. We would not want you to infect the body with a cancer, an unbiblical position. If we do not respect God's order in the church, how can we expect homes to be strong? We need order in the church. We need to preach and teach fathers and mothers to train their own children. Again, there is so much more written for fathers and mothers on that. The church was never to replace with gospel games. God's order followed brings strong families and strong churches and raises strong children. God's order neglected results in the chaos of the day. Most pastors can't preach this because they need women teachers in their Christian schools. So they won't talk about these things. Why? Because they need women in there. Again, we understand when ladies have to work because there's not men to take care of them. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about mom and dad in the home and dad sending the mom off. Not God's order. Not God's way. See, my life would be easier if I did that. No, it wouldn't. Because you will regret it every day of your life when your children leave that home. You will never forgive yourself for it. I promise you one thing. You will never forgive yourself if you rebel against God's order. You will never forgive yourself. It will take you to the grave. You'll take it to the grave with you. You'll never forgive yourself. Fundamentals pastors don't preach keepers at home anymore because they have positions to fill and mortgages to pay. And they like that double income, too, that when they have women working. So they don't preach against any women working because they haven't been in their schools, first of all. Second of all, they like them out there working. A lot of pastors preach that to pay their mortgages, they encourage the husbands to send their wives to work, sell their second car, do whatever they had to do to pay the church's mortgage off. There was one church that did that, and they paid $1 million off or something like that of a building, or a couple million dollars off a building by doing all that. Now, the homes that are wrecked and the destruction that took place, because of that don't matter. As long as that idol of the building was paid for, that's all that mattered. God help us. What a wicked thing. If you can't find the truth at church, where are you going to find it at all? Amen. I know it's in the Word of God, but if you can't find a church that's preaching the truth like that, And they want to compromise because it makes it easy for them. What, you don't think I'd have double the offerings if I preach like that? If I didn't preach this, but if I didn't ever talk about it, if I just left it alone. I've had women get mad because I preach on it. I've had some husbands get mad because I preach on it. It didn't change my mind any. Didn't bother me any. And I don't care either way. Because it doesn't matter. Truth is truth. That's what matters. That's what needs to be preached. So you know what happens as a result of it? Families are weak today. But if we got back to God's order and we're done with the gospel games, we might see the power of God again in churches. I just wonder what God thinks when he looks down upon these churches. And it's all like a circus sideshow. I wonder what he thinks about that's what children are being trained. Are they trained to be sober? No, they're trained to play games. Think about it. Father, thank you, Lord, for your words. Pray you bless, Lord. Pray you guide. Pray you help somebody, Lord. We take a stand against things and stand up for what's right in your order, Lord. I know you'll honor it as we honor you, Lord. And we're so grateful for all you've done for us. Lord, I pray you bless this afternoon. Bless the food to our bodies, bless the fellowship, bless the afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.